tonight to two portions of Scripture. I want to go first of all to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And read verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Everybody said Enoch had a testimony. Amen. And in the Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 10 and 11, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Everybody say, they overcame him. Everybody say, they overcame him. Hallelujah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Everybody said, they had a testimony. Hallelujah. I want to ask you tonight, do you have a title or do you have a testimony? Hallelujah. Do you just have a title or do you have a testimony? I don't want a title tonight. I want a testimony. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Praise God. There's a lot of titles that this world bestows, and this world's a little bit title crazy. You know, you ever been working on a job and they give you a promotion and you don't get any more money, you just get another name. They just give you a title. Amen. And you know, and somebody said, boy, I got a promotion at work today. I got a new title. Yeah. Amen. Well, the title's all right, but I don't want a title. I want to have a testimony. Yeah. Amen. There's a difference in the two. Amen. You can be a reverend or a rabbi, a pastor, a doctor, your honor, his eminence, your majesty, the king, the potentate, the president, general, whatever kind of title you want. There's all kinds of titles. Amen. But I want to have a testimony. There's a big difference. You see, Ramses had a title. Ramses the Great. Ramses the Pharaoh. He had an army. Amen. That did his bidding and backed him up. But there was a man called Moses that was his contemporary that had more than a title. He had a testimony. Hallelujah. He walked in before the throne of Pharaoh and he said, my God said, let his people go. And Pharaoh said, no. Amen. And God did a little convincing on him. Some people are awfully hard-headed. The Bible said he was hard-hearted. I always dread that scripture when it said, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's scary to me. You know, several times it said, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it said, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Oh, I don't ever want to get in that condition. The best way to avoid that is just not to harden your heart. Amen. Just give in. Say, yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. And so Pharaoh had a title, but Moses had a testimony. Who won? Amen. The book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You get a testimony and you don't have to be afraid of somebody that has a title, even if the title is king. Amen. When you get a testimony, if the king's word disobeys the word of God, you say, king, you have your word, and God has his word, and I'm going to obey God's word because I have a testimony. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. So Moses, his parents had a testimony. And they passed it on down to Moses. Amen. He heard from his little mama about the testimony. She heard about the God. He heard about the God of Israel. So by faith, when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then he said, choosing. I'm about to say choosing. Say choosing. Say it like you mean it. Choosing. There you go. Amen. Help me preach a little bit here. It'll help you stay awake. Amen. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why in the world would anybody choose suffering instead of pleasure? Because you had a testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, because he had a testimony. Hallelujah. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he be destroyed of the firstborn that should touch them. By faith he passed through the Red Sea as dry land, when the Egyptians, essaying to do so, were drowned, because Moses had a testimony. And the man with a title washed up on the seashore, drowned and nothing but a corpse, and became a mummy. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, it's more important to have a good testimony than it is to have a title that this world can bestow. Amen. There was a man by the name of Elijah. And he lived in the time of a woman that had a title. She was queen. Queen Jezebel. And Queen Jezebel wanted to change everything for everybody. Scary thought. And so she brought in a whole bunch of priests of Baal, 850 of them. And they greatly outnumbered the prophet. But he had a testimony. And he said, I'll tell you what, let's have a little showdown here. There's 850 of you, and there's just one of me. He said, but we're going to go up on the Mount Carmel and let's build an altar up there. Amen. And he said, and let's call on God. And the God that answers by fire, that's God. Let's serve him. And so they went up to Carmel. Everybody went up to Carmel. And they that had the titles, His Royal Highness, His Potentate, and all the other stuff, they all had their titles, and they built their altar, and they strutted around, and they prayed, and nothing happened. And they got desperate, and they started really getting down to business, and they started calling louder, and nothing happened. And Elijah was not very nice. He stood there saying, call a little louder, maybe he's asleep. Shout a little louder, maybe he's on vacation. Maybe your God's taking a nap. Oh, he was having the time of his life because he had a testimony. He wasn't even worried. He knew who was going to win when he offered the contest. Hallelujah. Amen. They began to cut themselves. They went frantic. They were dancing and falling in trances and cutting themselves and bleeding all over the place. And my, what a sight. And you know what? Nothing happened. And then it got to be Elijah's time. And Elijah got up and the Bible said he repaired the altar of the Lord. What a sad thing. It shouldn't have had to be repaired. It should have been kept in repair. Hey, folks, keep your altar in repair. They wouldn't have been in that state if they'd stayed at that altar. Amen. It disturbs me when people don't love the altar. It disturbs me when people avoid the altar. Amen. This is your friend right down here. Amen. You say, but I don't want people to think I've been sinning if I come down to the altar. That has nothing to do with it. This is where you'd come to keep from sinning. This is the place you come to see your loved ones saved. This is the place you lay your burdens down. This is the place you have your children saved. This is the place you get close to God. This is where you draw power. This is where you win spiritual victories. This is where you overcome the devil. This is where you bind him. The altar is important in your life. So he built up the altar. And he said, I want you to bring some water. I don't want any questions here. He said, let's baptize this old bullock here. Strap that bullock down there and said, now come on, bring some water. They brought water, poured it all over, big old barrels, and water went everywhere. He said, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. 12 barrels of water. He didn't want any question here. No funny business. When you have a testimony, you don't have to do funny business. You don't build your ministry on a show. Hello. Amen. A miracle, a minute, or your money back. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to work on sensationalism. Amen. He said, I want you to know my God is real. Hey, I want God to be real in our midst. Hey, I don't want anything saccharine. I don't want anything fake. I want the reality of God's Spirit in our midst. The genuine moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a lot of people that can put on a better show than we can. But we got to make up our mind. We don't want the show. We want a testimony. And the testimony is that we know God. And so he poured the water out. And then he said a little old short prayer. It wasn't very long. Let me read it to you. It wasn't much of a prayer. But whenever you have a testimony, you don't have to spend a whole lot of time with a lot of long, lofty words. This is not even a real pretty prayer. He said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That was it. It wasn't much of a prayer, was it? But it got an answer. The Bible said, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. He didn't leave any doubt. Hallelujah. I mean, it was scorched earth. It was ground zero when the Lord got through with that. He said, I want you to know I'm answering this man that has the testimony. Amen. And then I like this part. And all the people saw it. They fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Amen. You know what? This world needs that kind of a testimony one more time. Amen. Praise God. They don't need titles. They need a testimony. They need somebody that knows the Lord. Knows the Lord, that knows the Lord, that has a testimony. Amen. Praise God. That can show the Lord to them. Amen. And then Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Woo. You know, in Bible times, it didn't pay to be a false prophet. Now I hear prophets saying, you know, I'm about 50-50. Well, that wouldn't have cut it back then. You miss one, it's over. When you say the Lord said and the Lord didn't say and it didn't come to pass in the prophet. So you had to be very careful about saying the Lord said to me. Isn't that sad that we nowadays when people say the Lord said, I have to, you know, I put up my little spiritual antenna and say, did he really? Because I've heard people say things the Lord said and he didn't say it. I know he didn't. Because it's contrary to what his word says. And when you tell me God said something different in his word and something different to you, you're listening to the wrong God. Because he's not going to contradict what he's already said. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, well, you know, he's given me a new revelation. Not going there. Amen. He may give you an understanding of the old revelation. He may enlighten Scripture to your eyes and your understanding, but he doesn't change his revelation. I've had people tell me, well, you know, the Lord told me it was all right for me to do thus and so. Wrong spirit. Wrong God. Amen. I'm glad we can have a testimony tonight. Amen. He got rid of that. And then listen, and Elijah said to Ahab the king, there's the title right there. He said, get up and eat and drink, for there was the sound of abundance of rain. I like that. Here's a man. What did the scripture say? Faith comes by. What did he say? I hear. There is a sound. There is a certain sound. I hear it. And he hadn't even prayed for it yet. Hadn't rained in 3.5 years. Dry as a bone everywhere. He said, but I hear a sound. Sound of abundance of rain. Amen. He said, you better get off of this mountain or you're going to get stuck going down. Amen. And after they left, then he started praying. You know what? You can hear things in your spirit in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then you start praying, God confirm it. And he started praying. And he said, he prayed and he said, hey, to the prophet, he said, hey, I want you to look up there and see if there's any clouds. And he come back and he said, not a thing. And he prayed again. 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 Somebody said, I don't know if I ought to pray more than once. He just kept on praying. And finally, he came back and he said, well, he said, I see a little cloud as a man's hand. And the prophet said, that's the hand of the Lord. He's getting ready to turn on the waterworks. We better get out of here. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, when you have a testimony, you don't have to bow down to anybody with just a title. Amen. Do you know who I am? Yes, and it really doesn't matter. I know who I am too. Praise God. I'm a nobody that he made somebody. Amen. Because I'm a child of the king. Because he washed me with his blood. Because he sealed me with his name. And he filled me with his spirit. And that's what made me what I am today. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for a testimony. Hallelujah. That was a man by the name of Daniel. You ever heard of him? There was a guy that had a title. Matter of fact, there were several guys that had titles. They were counselors of the king. Advisors of his majesty. Amen. And they didn't think much of Daniel. And they devised a plan to get rid of Daniel. And they had the king to sign it. Amen. And the king did sign it. He didn't realize what he was doing, but he signed it. He was not careful. And whenever he found out what he'd done, and there was somebody praying to some other god because of his phony god. He said, you can't do that. And Daniel, when it got prayer time, he opened his window toward the east, toward Jerusalem. He was a captive in Babylon, but he opened his window and he began to pray to the Lord God Jehovah. And his enemies heard him praying. You know why they knew he was going to pray? Because he had a testimony. We know Daniel, he's going to pray 3 times. He's going to open that window. He's going to pray. We got him because we know what he's going to do. He's got a testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. He was predictable. He's got a testimony. So he prayed. They told the king. The king said, I gave him a word. I can't go back, Daniel. I like what it says here. And in Daniel 6, verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then it says, and the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. The king was all concerned about Daniel. He told him in the preceding verse, he said, Daniel, your God's going to be able to deliver you, but he didn't believe it because he didn't have a testimony. He was riding on Daniel's coattails. Secondhand faith won't get you through, folks. Got to get your own. Secondhand relationship won't get you through. God doesn't have any stepchildren. Amen. They're all his. You got to be born again. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He thinks all of them are grand. Amen. Everybody's first generation. I've heard people say, what generation of Pentecost are you? Doesn't matter. We're first generation in Jesus Christ. Everybody's first generation. I'm not saying that heritage is not important. It's very important. But I'm just simply saying to you, that if you're the first generation, that's all right. Because everybody's got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. King's all concerned. King rose up early in the morning, went in haste to the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried out with a lamentable voice. I like that. A lamentable voice. In other words, he was crying. He's full of emotion. He's scared to death. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is that God whom thou servest?" I like this word. Continually. Why'd he do that? Because he had a testimony. He wasn't up and down, hot and cold, in and out, up and down. He served the Lord his God continually. Wasn't any question. Daniel, what are you going to do today? Serve the Lord. Amen. What are you going to do this afternoon? Serve the Lord. What are you going to do tonight? Serve the Lord. Amen. Continually. Monday, I'm going to serve the Lord. Tuesday, going to serve the Lord. Every day, going to serve the Lord. On vacation, I'm going to serve the Lord. On my job, I'm going to serve the Lord. With my family and my home, I'm going to serve the Lord. In the marketplace, I'm going to serve the Lord. When I'm tested, I'm going to serve God. When hard times come, I'm going to serve the Lord. When I'm discouraged, I'm going to serve the Lord. David served God, or Daniel served the Lord continually. And the king knew it. See, Daniel had a testimony. I said the king knew it. He said, thy God, whom thou servest continually, was he able to deliver thee from the lions? And he listened carefully. And all he could hear was snoring. It wasn't Daniel, it was Leo. And all of the rest of them, Leona. Whatever the lions' names were down there in that den, they were all snoring. Now let me tell you, I would not be afraid to be cast into a lion's den, long as there's no lions in it. But the Bible said it was a den of lions, just to make the point clear. Because there are skeptics that would pick up on that, you see. Was the Lord able to deliver you? And Daniel cried out and he said, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me," he had a testimony. "And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." I like this. "Then the king was exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Then the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all of their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den." I mean, all of a sudden those lions got hungry. They were ravenous. Woo! Hey, it's good to have a testimony. When it comes to dens of lions, it's good to have a testimony. It's good to have a walk with God. It's good to know the Lord. Amen. Praise God. He had a testimony. Amen. "Then Darius the king wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Hey, you know what? The king got a testimony. The king had a second-hand testimony. Daniel had a first-hand testimony. Daniel could tell you what lion's breath smells like. Amen. Daniel could tell you what a den of lions is like. He could tell you what kind of pillow they make. He could tell you how sharp the claws are. He could tell you how many teeth they have. Daniel had an experience. He had a testimony. But the king was so impressed by what God had done for Daniel and Daniel's faith in God that he made a decree through his whole kingdom concerning the God of Daniel. Amen. You know what would have been better? If he would have experienced God for himself. Secondhand testimonies don't always work. You remember those fellow sons of Sceva? They went down to the house of a demon-possessed man. And they were going to cast out the devil because they had heard Paul do that. And so they walked in with their secondhand testimony. And their secondhand faith. And they said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Now there's where they made the mistake. There's power in the name of Jesus, but you got to have it for yourself. You can't go on somebody else's faith. You can't have somebody else's testimony. You can't have somebody else's power. You got to get it for yourself. In the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, come out of him. Boy, did he ever. The Bible said he ripped their clothes. He beat them black and blue. And they were begging for mercy to be delivered from that spirit. Get away. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, but you need your own testimony. Your own testimony. You need your own experience with God. You got to know him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. In the book of Daniel, the scripture said that in the troublesome times, it said, and the people that do know their God shall arise and do exploits. Amen. The people that do know their God. That's the secret, friend. That's how you get a testimony. It begins with knowing God. It begins with an experience with God, a personal experience with him. Amen. Praise God. Hey, I want to have a testimony, not just a title. There was a man by the name of Enoch. I read about him in the book of Hebrews. And the Bible said he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know Enoch? Yeah, that's that old fellow that pleases God. That's that old man that's always talking about God. That's that old man that's always praying. That's old man that's always talking about what God's doing. That's the testimony. Amen. He was, of course, today what they call him, Jesus freaks. He was a God freak, I guess, in some people's eyes. But really, he just had a testimony that he loved God. Hadn't been that way all of his life. The Bible said that when his son Methuselah was born, it was from that time something happened in his life that caused him to really start walking with God. And he had that testimony. That he pleased God. Amen. And the old preacher told it so well. He said one day Enoch was out walking with God. And the Lord said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. So just come on home with me. And Enoch was not, because God translated him. Amen. Wow, what a testimony. Hey, it's important to have a testimony. You know what's going to happen? And I don't think it's going to be very long. We're going to be walking one day. I could be driving a car. I could be walking along. I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I know one thing. When I hear the trumpet sound, Earth's going to it's going to lose its gravitational pull. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Hallelujah. You don't realize it tonight, but this old planet you're on is spinning about 1,500 miles an hour. I mean, we are on the move tonight. And we are orbiting and blasting through space tonight. There's a lot of motion going on. And you hardly even get dizzy unless you get sick or something. But there's a lot going on here that you don't quite understand. But one of these days it's going to lose its hold. And all of a sudden, boom, we're going to be flung out of here. Amen. Like a rock from a sling. And we're going to find ourselves in the presence of the Lord. If you have this testimony that you please God. Amen. Praise God. Hey, you got to have the right testimony, folks. You can't please this world and please God. You can't always please people and please God. When it comes to pleasing God or pleasing people, you've got to make up your mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's your testimony, isn't it? Amen. And you know what? After a while, you get a testimony. And they may kind of say some things about you, but they know who you are and they know what you believe. Amen. And they'll give up after a while. They won't ask you to go drinking anymore because they know that you don't drink. And they won't ask you to go party anymore because they know you don't party. And they won't ask you to do things that they know that you're not going to do things that are wrong because you've got a testimony that you please God. Amen. Praise God. We've had to walk that road, folks. We've had to make those decisions. Amen. When I was a young man, 15 years of age, when God gave me the Holy Ghost, I had to make some decisions. I had to make some decisions. I had to decide how I was going to live my life. I had to decide who I was going to please. Right. Had a lot of temptations. People trying to get me to go different directions. But somewhere, thank God for His grace that He put in my heart that allowed me to make right decisions and say, I got to serve God. I'm sorry. Hey, man, I've had going with friends and I've had to tell them, stop the car. I can't go there. And after a while, they were going somewhere they knew I wasn't going. They wouldn't even ask me to go.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. Because you got a testimony. Right. But you know what? That's also beautiful because they'll come to you and they'll say, could I talk to you? Come over here. They don't want anybody to hear, you see. Come over here. Amen. And if they've got a question about God, they ask you because you have a testimony. If they have a prayer request, they ask you to pray because you have a testimony. If they have a need in their life, they want to share it with you because you have a testimony. Amen. Praise God. There are people in this city that don't come to this church, but they know this church. And they ask this church to pray. Why? Because you have a testimony. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's all right to have a title, but more important, to have a testimony. Amen. I like what the Scripture said about, and this is very interesting to me. In the book of Acts, the Bible says that they were called Christians first at Antioch. You know what's really interesting about that? Antioch was a Gentile church. It was the first Gentile church. And of all the places to be called Christians, it was Antioch. And who called them Christians? They didn't name themselves that. The world called them Christians. Sinners called them Christians. Outsiders called them Christians. You know why? Because they said, you talk like Him, you walk like Him, you act like Him, you do everything like Him. You're just like Jesus Christ. You bunch of Christians. Amen. You know why they gave them that title? Because they had a testimony that reminded them of Jesus Christ. Woo! I want a testimony tonight. How about you? Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm going to stop with this right here. Amen. Revelation. I read to you the 12th chapter and the 10th and 11th verse. This is talking about the devil when he's cast down to the earth. It goes on, describes him here in the beginning as a great red dragon. Interesting. You know, when we're introduced to the devil in the book of Genesis, and he's a serpent. But his influence has grown so great that by Revelation, he's a great red dragon. Got 7 heads, 10 horns, 10, he's got crowns on his head, got diadems. Amen. And he's got influence in the world. And people are being smashed and crushed by him. And people are fearful. and people are falling down before Him, and people are worshiping Him, and people are giving in to Him. But in the middle of that, the Bible says, speaking of a certain group of people, it says, and they overcame Him. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. They overcame Him. That great red dragon. Who in the world could overcome somebody so powerful and so influential? Little old grandmas that know how to pray. Little old grandpas that know how to pray. Some of them so weak and sickly they couldn't even get out of bed. But they could overcome the devil because they know how to pray. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. And there's some men in that bunch, but they're not relying on their strength. They're relying on their testimony because they know the Lord. They go to work every day and they're surrounded by all kinds of ungodliness and all kinds of wickedness. But they've got something on the inside of them that holds them steady in the storm and something that allows them to overcome the temptation. They got a testimony. Amen. And there's women in that bunch. When other women are gossiping and caving in and giving up and throwing in the towel and joining the crowd and saying everybody's doing it and just marching in the devil's parade, they're standing up for righteousness and they're standing up for godliness and they're walking in a Christian standard and they're saying, we'll not bow, we'll not bend, we'll not give up. And you got a testimony. There's young people in that bunch, amen, that stand up, don't give up, don't give in, don't join the crowd. They say, oh no, I'm not marching to the sound of that drum. I'm not headed, I know where that road's going. I'm not headed that way. Amen, there's a straight gate over here. It's a narrow way, but it's worth it because I know where this is headed. I know who's on this path. I know who's walking with me. There's light in the path. I can see where I'm going. Amen. Hey, got a testimony. And the Bible says they overcame Him. Now it tells us how. What did it say? By the blood of the Lamb. You got to start there. You can't do it without the blood, folks. You can't pass Calvary. You got to stop at Calvary. You don't stay at Calvary, but you got to stop at Calvary. Amen. It's the blood of the Lamb. That's what cleanses you. That's what deals with sin in your life. That's what breaks the shackles that had you bound. That's what puts a love in your heart and appreciation for what God has done for you. When you get past Calvary and you've been covered in the blood, I'm telling you, friend, the old accuser of the brethren, he can accuse until he doesn't have a voice. But the judge looks in his book and he says, there's no sin here. It's all covered by the blood. And the devil says, but I know what he said. I was there. I heard him. I saw what he did. And he says, there's no record of it here. It's been washed by the blood. That's a testimony. Hallelujah. I might remember what I did. The devil certainly remembers what I did because he drags it up all the time. But you know what? The Lord doesn't remember. God has the ability to remember and never forget. And He has the ability to forget and never remember. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. He has the ability to blot it out of His mind. That's the power of the blood, folks. That's how you overcome Him. What happens, Brother Grissom, if I don't make it? What happens if I fail? What happens if I damage my testimony? You just go back to Calvary. Go back to the altar. Go back to the blood. Wash it. Cleanse it. Get it under the blood. And go on. That's what we talked about this morning, wasn't it? Amen. Somebody, I've heard people said, I'm such a sinner, I'm so far from God. How many sins did it take to make you a sinner? One. How many lies did it take you to make you a liar? One lie. How many things did you have to steal to be a thief? One thing. How many people does a person have to murder to become a murderer? Just one. How many prayers do you have to pray to be restored to God? Just one. Amen. That's all it is. You're just one prayer away from the kingdom. You're just one prayer away from your testimony. You're just one prayer away from the blood. That's it. Just one. That doesn't seem fair. It's not about fair. It's about grace. God's grace. Amen. Amen. And so you by the power, the blood of the Lamb, and it said in the word of their testimony. Let me give you a good word that'll protect your testimony. No! That's how you overcome every temptation in your life. There's not any sin, there's not any temptation that you can't overcome with that one simple word. That's all it takes. Isn't this simple? But it works. But it works. Amen. I had people tell me when I was traveling, people different places, they'd say, Brother Grissom, you're such a simple preacher. Thank you. Here I am trying to be deep and all the mysteries of God. You're such a simple preacher. But you know what? That's a compliment. It means somebody understood what I said. Jesus did that, didn't he? He used big words like water and fish, sheep, stuff like that. It's real hard to understand too. Told stories. Amen. It's all right. Amen. Praise God. But you see, there's a word of your testimony. Amen. Praise God. Now, it's not just in what you say, it's what you are. You just walk with God, and the more you walk with God and the longer you walk with God, your testimony just becomes greater. Amen. Praise God. But Brother Grissom, what happens if I fail? Then you get another testimony. That is, you can be restored. You can be restored. There's some that seem like they start and they never seem to bobble. It seems like they're just strong and just every step's the right step. There are others that struggle, but you know what? Your testimony is that I got down, but I got up. I failed, but I didn't stop. I got up and I dusted myself off and I covered my sin in the blood and I set my face like a flint and I started walking. Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about your testimony tonight. Praise God. We need a testimony. We need a testimony. They overcame him by the blood. Amen. The Bible says they didn't even fear for their lives. Amen. They were willing to lay down their lives. They were willing to give their lives. For they loved not their lives unto you read Fox's Book of Martyrs and you read about people that gave their lives for this gospel. There was a man by the name of Jerome that they were going to burn him at the stake and they were setting the fire behind him. He said, why are you setting it behind me? Set it in front so I can see. He said, if I had been afraid, I wouldn't be here. If I had been afraid, I wouldn't be here. Amen. That's not loving their lives. Amen. You know what? You talk about a testimony. Above the crackling of the flames, you could hear them singing praises. Nero, the emperor of Rome, they said used to dip Christians in tar, and then he would set them on poles around his garden and set them afire and use them to light his parties. But I'm telling you what, it couldn't have been much of a party that would have been ruined because of the testimony of people singing the praises of Jesus Christ. You know what's stronger than death? The grace of God. You know what can take away pain that would be simply unbearable? The grace of God. Somebody said, I don't know if I can do that. I've got an answer. No, you can't. But the grace of God can. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. If you're called on to make that sacrifice, grace will be there. If you're called on to pay that price, grace will be there. God will never fail. He'll show up right on time with everything that you need to be a success. Amen. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. We got to make it, folks, by the grace of God. Amen. You need a testimony. You've got a testimony. Guard it. Let's stand together. Amen. The same group of vicious men that had crucified Jesus Christ, arrested two of His disciples less than just a couple of months after Jesus had been crucified. And they brought Peter, who had not even been able to stand up to a little old girl in the courtyard. And they brought Peter and John before this group of august men with their influence and their intimidating presence. And they questioned them and they commanded them. They said, "Don't you ever preach again in the name of this Jesus Christ." And those two men stood up boldly to that group of men that had crucified their Lord. And they said, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They said, "We have a testimony. And we're going to keep on telling what we saw. And we're going to keep on telling what we heard." Amen. We're just going to keep on preaching Jesus. That's what we heard. And that's what we saw. And we're going to keep doing it. We saw Him touch the eyes of a blind man in the open. So that's what we're going to do. We saw Him reach down and take the hand of a lame man and pull him up and give him strength. And so that's what we're going to do. They said, "We heard Him speak to people and say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee.'" And that's what we're going to do. That's the kind of message we're going to preach. That's the testimony. And they did. And they won the world. Amen. Praise God. How about a testimony tonight? Anybody here got a testimony? Amen. Guard it. Guard it. It's what's going to help you to overcome your testimony. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Amen. And they love not their lives, even unto the death. Praise God. Amen. They love something more. And in so doing, they preserve their lives for eternity. Amen. Praise God. I spoke a little earlier about these altars and how important they are. I would tonight encourage you to find a place at these altars. And let's talk to God about our testimony. Amen. If it's good, let's protect it. If it needs some work, let's ask Him to help us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can anybody hear the voice of the Lord calling tonight? Can anybody feel Jesus and His presence drawing you? Amen. Praise God. The altar's open tonight. Love is reaching. Love is reaching. Praise God. He really cares. He really cares. Oh, it. Amen. Just come on home. Just step on out. Jesus, I can do it if you'll help me tonight. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. I can't do it by myself. Can't make it alone. Amen. But I can do it if you'll help me. Oh, nada es imposible contigo, Señor Jesús. Hallelujah. God, help me. Amen. Forgive me tonight for all of my wrong. Pardon me for all of my sin. Cleanse me, God, from all unrighteousness. Purge my lips, God, from every wrong word. Cleanse my heart, God, of every sin.